Tonight, on episode 17 of Fallen Woman at Radio Free Brooklyn, fiery, fabulous feelings and mana-driven mind rain from Minnetonka, Garrow Sparrow, and Sequinette Janesfield include the homeopathic heart, science of the mind, the Schlepp sisters, the reality show rabbit hole, fame and loyalty, urban jungle versus nature nourishment, mo' money, mo' problems, dog grooming euphoria, sage goths, bisexual realism, and an inappropriately enticing round of a game called Disturbed Friends. Welcome to Fallen Woman. With me is my astounding guest, Ms. Minnetonka. How are you?
Good.
You're looking resplendent today in leopard print.
Thank you.
I'm loving this.
Thanks.
She is the other half also, by the way, of what is known as the Schlepp sisters. The other half being Darlinda, just Darlinda, the wonderfully talented performance artist. The two of them have this fantastic history together. Please tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, great. Yeah. Darlinda and I are going, this actually last month, in February 2016, we are entering our 12th year of performing burlesque together, which is really
12
crazy.
12 years.
I know.
That's a dirty dozen.
Yeah, we started, our first show was actually at the House of Collection in 2004, this really incredible... you've been to that space, right?
I believe
a million
so.
Times.
Yeah.
Page.
So there was a lost decade, but I do believe so, yes.
This just museum-like haven in Williamsburg. It's interesting. You know, my first... Darlinda kind of, like, took off right away. She was, like, really into it and started performing, like, right away. Whereas I kind of slowly was... Took me a while to kind of get into it. I was kind of performing, you know, like
we were finding your sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I think back over the years, it took me longer to really. It was really kind of focused on the Schlepp sisters when we started,
right?
And it took me longer, a couple years, to kind of start exploring my solo burlesque performance.
Exactly.
And
it's like becoming a solo artist.
Yeah, totally. And, so we are, you know, we've gone through a lot together, working together for so many years. And
yeah.
I feel like now we're in a really healthy, good place.
When's the next Schlepp Sisters production?
We are performing in Denver.
Really?
Yes, like in a week and a half. We're going to be in Denver.
What's the date? Because this will be airing in time.
Fantastic. We are going to be at Lanny's Clock Tower Cabaret on Wednesday, March 23rd. It's our Purim show, which the Jewish holiday of Purim.
Yes.
And then we'll be there on their regular burlesque nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, yeah, that's going to be very fun. We've traveled the world together performing, so, but we haven't been to Denver together, so that's going to be really fantastic. It's an incredible venue.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
You carry a similar life philosophy to myself.
Uh-huh.
Some would call it law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Others might call it the secret. Some might call it the science of mind. And that's when I speak of, like, Louise L. Hay.
Yeah.
Who kind of came before the Esther Hicks of Law of Attraction.
Yep.
And definitely before The Secret.
Yep.
And that is how you create your own reality by whatever you think and what you feel.
Yeah.
But you... It's a... Right, Suki? Yes. It's a creating conscious manifestation. How would you describe it? Like, how has it affected you?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen a lot of transformation, in you in the last decade, and I'm not surprised that this has something to do with it.
Thank you. Yeah. I started, just really changing my lifestyle the past few years, but I learned it was really Louise Hay that
she's my favorite of the trifecta.
I have her book, You Can Heal Your Life, which literally, you know, I've read it. And the first time I read it, I just was like, actually on an airplane, I was like totally just like crying.
Consumed.
Oh my gosh.
Very consuming literature.
And I just made this conscious choice just to just work on myself and really listen to what she's saying. And it's interesting, like, when I think about, you know, how mean we can be to ourselves and our thoughts.
Oh,
and
yes.
How sad that is.
And how we can scare ourselves, too.
Exactly. And how... And I've just been experimenting for the past few years and really learning how to kind of, like, train my mind and change my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And...
It's almost like reprogramming your inner computer.
Exactly. And exactly. Yeah. And so that... So she is... You know, just my motivation and inspiration, Louise Hay, but also doing a lot of research on the law of attraction as well, just in terms of, you know, what we give out.
I like her
out,
perspective
give
in particular. I find she comes from a very warm place.
Oh my gosh, she's so amazing. And I think what's really powerful also, and it was really hard for me, is her idea of doing mirror work and look at yourself in the mirror and saying positive things to yourself in the mirror.
It really does feel like exercise.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah. So that kind of, you know.
But it's very effective.
Right.
It's
very effective. Yeah. And just having, just, you know, really embodying and embracing gratitude.
Yes.
And how then that can just call in more abundance.
Yes.
And so that's just, it's, I'm loving and proud of myself that I have been so dedicated to this. And it's hard because my whole life, like, I was not. I lived...
Being able to say
more
thank
negative.
You allows
you to
receive,
I lived more in destitute, like,
more
yeah,
more
I lived,
acceptance.
Yeah, like, the way, like, just kind of being mean to myself and my thoughts, not all the time, but definitely being mean to myself and my thoughts, or living in, like, deprivation, like, oh, you know, I'm broke, or, you know, but just really changing that around.
Yes.
And thinking positively, like, I choose not to spend my money this week on that because blah, blah, blah.
And also raising your price tag.
Exactly. Your self-worth. Right. And what,
yeah.
So that's something that I love talking about and I love sharing because it's, you know, it's not a new concept, but it's new to me in the past few years. And that's really been, I think, really helpful and beautiful. And
well, you've really blossomed as a performer.
Thanks.
And I'm This all makes sense. I could see how this came into serious play. And you're working on homeopathy.
Yeah, homeopathy.
And it's been quite the healing journey for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have an autoimmune disease. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know this.
So I have a version of rheumatoid arthritis, and I was diagnosed about 16 years ago, actually. And then I was in remission for like 10 years, and then came back. And it's really been really debilitating, physically and then emotionally. So that's kind of, it's all kind of interconnected with, like, Louise Hay trying to be positive and not be so depressed.
Well, her theory about metaphysical causation.
Exactly.
About how your thoughts and feelings really affect your physical health.
Right.
More than you realize.
Right. In learning about, like, our body... is when our body's in pain, our body's communicating with us. So
it's trying to tell us something.
Right. So I was doing all these things. Like, I changed my diet like 3 years ago. I stopped eating dairy and gluten, and I was doing acupuncture and all this sort of thing. And then my mom, and I just was just, I've been living in chronic pain for years. And, and that's definitely affected my performance.
And it's a lot like having arthritis from what I hear.
It is. I do have arthritis. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's affected my performance in that, like, I can't do floor work. You know, I can't get down the ground, and Arlen and I can't do some of our acts because of the choreography, but...
do you find corsets to be challenging?
I don't really wear corsets.
More and more lately, I'm really bored with the corset.
So I started doing homeopathy, which is working with this incredible homeopath based in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm from Minnesota. My mom introduced me to her. So homeopathy is an alternative form of healing where the remedy is like plant-based, for example, and it treats like with like. So, yeah. So it's controversial because it can't be like...
It's not FDA approved.
Exactly.
Right.
But the transformation that
Neither is cannabis, and it's doing amazing things for cancer these days.
Exactly.
It
so, really is. So homeopathy is actually, it was founded by a German man in the 1800s, so it's actually more prevalent in Europe, and it's not so common in America. Right. But it's just the, and it's, just going through, I've been doing it for 3 years now, and that also has been part of the journey in my healing journey, just in terms of like.
And this has to do a lot with herbal medication. If you will,
it's basically what treatments. It does. Yeah, I take my remedy about once a month, and it and it kind of goes into your constitution and kind of like reteaches your body how to heal itself.
Ah,
so it's a long. It's not like a quick fix, you know, pharmaceutical, take Advil, whatever. No.
No, it's the long term. You're going in for the
yeah.
That's more of a commitment. Yeah.
So you know, just,
and the results are probably bigger.
They're going to I mean, I've learned. I feel like I've just like grown, transformed emotionally and spiritually.
Wow.
Physically, things are changing. It's still a roller coaster. Like I still have pain and inflammation and stuff, but.
Never know it to look at you.
Yeah.
You'd never know it.
Thanks.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
Minnie,
yes.
I absolutely love that you came to be on my show.
Thanks, me too. Thanks for having me, Velocity.
I have to say, that means a lot to me. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
And on that note, big kisses and cheers. Let's raise a kombucha glass to the,
yes,
to the gods.
Chills.
Cheers. You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. With me is a very phenomenal fashion trailblazer, Garo Sparrow. I'm very honored to have you here. Thank you.
Ah, thank you for having me.
Wow. The feeling's mutual, honey.
After like all of the past interviews, I feel like I'm...
Madness.
Know, madness, you know. It's been a long day.
Yeah. It's been a long day.
I got 3 hours
of
sleep last night. It's been like, ugh. But it's all good. I'll tell you later.
And for now, will you tell me about your reality show blues or your reality show reality? What was that like?
It wasn't really blues. It's just like, all you people out there that like think you want to have your own reality show, don't bother... really? Because what you want is not what you're going to get. You're going to get severe
That just almost came out my nose. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are you okay?
Yeah. It's fine.
Basically, like, I came onto set first day of my reality show, which was a 6-hour long series on the Cinch channel probably like 3 or 4 years ago. Don't remember, never watched it, because I couldn't even watch it.
I understand. Yeah,
anyway, I love all the people involved. However, I arrived to set the first day, and it was like, the show was supposed to be about celebrating all my fabulous clients. Bambi the Mermaid, you know, Amanda Lepore.
World Famous Bob.
Trixie and Monkey, which they did get on the show. Trixie, Monkey, and Bob did get on the show, but... It was, like, really weird.
It had a lettuce, like, too.
Yeah. Then I arrived on set first day after being up until 2 in the morning while Sundance Channel has me, like, help decorate my new pseudo-studio, which was just, like, a big whatever setup. Anyway, yeah, you get on set, and they're like, okay, so this is Caroline, and she lost her mother, and... You're going to help her through her problems through fashion. And it was just...
Now you're a fashion therapist.
Exactly. It was the weirdest thing ever. But once I realized I had signed a contract, I was like, fuck. I got to do this. Like, I have to, like, get through this. And...
Xanax.
That currently that did happen.
Well, I could see why.
From time to time, yeah.
Blame you there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that pretty much was. The crew loved me because I would get through every day without fail, like as quickly as possible, because I just knew that it was just like,
get it over with.
Get it over with.
Right.
And anyway, so that's my thoughts on reality television. Don't even try it. Don't bother. It's
the 15 minutes isn't worth it.
It's not even 15 minutes. More like 2 seconds, and it's and it's a railer from what you really believe in. Because I'm a designer. I'm not a fucking like actor. I'm not a fucking TV host. I'm a designer, and it kind of like derailed me for a second. And I feel good to be right on track right now.
And this completely brings us to the next topic on fame and loyalty. And what you learned from all of that, and where you are now spiritually with your current success.
Well, basically, since then, you know, I've like strictly concentrated on like my wonderful clientele and developing a line, and I've acquired investors, and I'm about to launch a collection on the 31st. Is going to be a launch party.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I actually have a PR company representing me, which the only time I ever had one was when I had the TV show.
Excellent. And
I've been in business for quite some time now.
Right.
Like, we're in the you know, it's up there. You
yeah.
know, around 20
You're
years.
You're in deep.
I'm in deep.
Yeah.
And I ain't fucking
Big
around.
You've invested
and
much into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this show is going to be serious. It's going to be a capsule collection. It's going to be a launch party. It's going to be more about the party and just like a taste of what the future will bring. And it's not going to be based on seasons or collections of what you need to have this season. Mm-hmm. I'm all about people like owning my work and collecting it like art. And I don't go by seasons. I go by what you want to wear, when you want to wear it, and I'm going to show it all at the same time, so get ready.
And you mentioned something earlier about friends and not forgetting your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, basically, when I came to New York, I was really young. I got sponsored by Absolute. They brought me up here to do a collection. And background. Mm-hmm. You can read my, just Google me. But anyway.
That basically, Garo like, Sparrow, folks. GaroSpar on Google.
Anyway, whatever. Not trying to be cocky or anything. But, you know, funny. You can't forget about the people that, like, bought into your life when you were like that young kid, like
believed in
getting
you.
In there. Amanda Lepore was my first client ever, and is still my client to this day. Like, I'm proud to dress her. I mean, in almost every one of her outfits.
She's a major muse for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, her and the entire nightlife just embraced me when I got here, and I can never leave them behind. Kenny, all of them, like, you know, for Micah, everybody. It's like I could never turn my back on them because they were there for me and they helped me build my life. You know, Misunderstood from Screaming Queens, like, you know.
And there's a saying you like to, I've seen referenced on the show we were talking about earlier. You mentioned several times in that series something about the quilt of your life.
Yes,
yeah.
These are all people that are basically in the quilt of my life. And I've adopted a saying which has got me very far in costuming films and television and people. And the answer is always yes. Everything is possible. Anything is possible. So, anyway. I feel like this is like drunk history.
I've had like two
glasses of wine.
Something
I'm
so
like,
beautiful.
I've had it.
That was so beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Don't apologize for that. That was beautiful. And speaking of beautiful, I know you have an intense love of nature.
Yes.
And a constant inner battle between the urban jungle that you create in and the nature that inspires you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much like, that's like, when you move to New York, at first, it's like nothing but like, it's just a feast for the eyes and ears and senses. And you could not get me out of New York City. But in order to function these days in the realm that I'm in, so much stimulation that I really covet. I managed to acquire a house in the Catskills, right in the heart of like the
wilderness. A little place in the woods.
It's like middle of nowhere. Yeah. Like nobody can, you have to drive to talk to somebody, but love it.
And it must be stunning.
Thank you. And it's very, it's what can balances out the equation of like being a city person. That's how you do it. And don't be afraid to like, just, engage with that person that you need to like be
to unplug.
Alone. Unplug, like yeah. Unplug. You don't have to be like city, like balls to the wall, man, all the time. Like no,
yeah.
Go for a hike.
It's have like urban jungle versus nature.
Yeah, dude. I arrive at my place upstate. Brain shuts yeah. off. My shit's up there. I got my all my like art supplies. Creation begins and chopping wood and whatnot. Yeah.
More money, more problems?
Yeah, more money, more problems. You know,
made a joke about that before.
It's true. It's like, you know, you want so hard to, like, have people, like, buy into your art, and then they buy into your art.
Right.
And then you have, like, a peanut gallery around you, and it's awesome, but it's also, like, I'm not used to it because, you know, I started on my own a million years ago, as I said earlier. And, you know, it's like, it's weird to have like people like overseeing my, what I plan to do and have to chime in about it. It's a strange thing. At the same time, you know, they're the people who, you know, have, you know, they've seen it, how it works. And what I'm really lucky about is, the person who's investing in my company is someone who is a client who would have me create insane costumes he's a photographer.
Uh-huh.
And he would have me create insane costumes for his photo shoots. And we had a relationship for like 4 years of like the crazier the better. So to have somebody like that as your investor, you really can't complain, but there's always going to be a business side of it. So, yeah, more money, more problems. Sometimes, but they're yes. good problems.
They always say, too, that the more keys you have in your keychain, the more responsible.
It's a million-dollar problem, honey.
Luxury problems.
You know, luxury problems. I'm not complaining. Cry me a fucking river, people. You know? I'm good.
Well, cheers to luxury problems.
Amen.
And congratulations on your upcoming show.
Hell yeah, thank you. And a movie as well that's coming up, but that's a ways away. I don't have time right now, but it's coming.
Well, you fine folks out there can find out more about the phenomenal Garo Sparrow at garosparrow.com. Give us a kiss.
All right.
You were listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. With me is my stunning guest, Miss Sequinette Janesfield.
Meow.
I wish you could see the dress she's wearing today. It's so gummy.
This old thing.
And you are quite the groomer. You are even the pet groomer.
Yes.
Extraordinaire these days. What kind of creatures are you grooming?
I'm a cospetologist.
A petologist, I like that.
Yes, I am a pet groomer, in fact. I run a business called Fur Majesty Grooming. I provide sliding...
And that is furmajesty.com?
It is furmajestynyc.com.
Fantastic.
Yes. It's fantastic. Yes, so I provide sliding scale pet grooming services to artists and performers.
Excellent. And they always have the funkiest animals, don't they?
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of long-haired Persian cats, a lot of adorable rescue dogs, which I specialize in.
Oh. So you're very sensitive with the post-traumatic stress disorder animal.
Yeah. Yes, you know, we relate.
Do you do the lion cut on the Persian cats?
I do. Many lion cuts.
With the big puffy feet.
With the big puffy feet and the big mane and the tail and the whole bit. They get really mad.
But it never gets old for me. I love it.
It's amazing. They're so happy after, but they hate it while it's happening.
They hate it while it's happening, but afterwards they feel like really good.
They're thrilled. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the summer.
Yes, exactly.
Fur coat every day.
Yeah, and then they a lot of times they'll go and like lay on the cold tile floor with their new naked body and writhe around in pleasure.
First time I started shaving my vagina, I remember that sensation. Like it just everything that touched it felt really different.
So everything is so much more sensitive.
Be like that all over your whole body.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's like your pussy everywhere.
And you do performance art as well.
Performance art.
Performance art.
Something like that. Yes.
Yeah. How would you describe your work?
It's
erotic and aggressive, I find. And I mean that in a beautiful, sexy, complimentary way. I you don't hold back. And it's always visually stunning.
Yeah, I do.
And you do challenge the erotic ego a bit, which I like.
That's interesting. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I like to do kind of large scale, kind of cinematic performance. I'm trying to branch out a little bit and do a little bit more video and film. I'm trying to make a film. I'm working on a full-length show. Yeah. Trying to branch out a little bit from short, more drag numbers.
Not just pieces. You want to a full-scale production.
Yes. So I'm sort of working on that.
I'm hearing that a lot these days.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It's been coming up a lot on this show, actually.
Really?
Actually,
interesting.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. And I don't know. I've been thinking about more like installation or, you know, durational and stuff like that. But I use a lot of, like, again, it relates to grooming, I guess, a little bit. I do a lot of, like, anthropomorphic characters and weird animals.
What's the wildest grooming scenario you had in recent times?
Grooming scenario.
Yeah, like, the look. What was the wildest animal pet look you provided?
That's a good question. Let me think.
Yeah, I know. It's probably a lot, though.
Yeah, there's a lot. Dyed a white Persian cat lavender.
Oh, really?
She was gorgeous.
And how did you manage to do that?
It was not the easiest.
No, I can't imagine.
But you know the pet dyes
are. Did lavender just get all over the house?
No, you apply it with a little brush, like you do. You know, if you're putting Manic Panic in your hair, and it's not that dissimilar from Manic Panic, the pet dye.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad, but it was pretty glorious.
It's non-toxic.
It's non-toxic, yeah. I've been doing a lot of glitter tattoos on dogs, glitter nails.
Glitter tattoos, though. I've heard of the glitter nail. I've heard of the nail job. But
yes.
The glitter tattoo job.
It's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one.
Where does that go? How does that happen?
It can go anywhere. I'm not going to describe the process in too much
detail.
Don't
give away all your trade secrets. No, I don't want to steal that from you.
But it is glitter, and it lasts about 2 weeks.
Is it on their fur or their skin?
It's on their fur, but they have to have pretty short hair. So it either has to be a short-haired dog or they have to be shaved pretty short for it to hold.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
It's pretty cute, yeah, and it's easy.
I'm going to have to be Googling this later because I want to see what that
should.
Looks like. I've never even heard of such a thing.
Yeah, you should.
And you and a fellow guest that we have on the show tonight, Mr. Garrow Sparrow,
who?
Long... Stop. you guys have a long relationship together. And I think you told me that when you first came to New York City, that he pretty, by meeting him, pretty much gave you your New York City initiation or hazing.
Yes.
What is that story? Where does it begin?
It was very serendipitous. I had only lived here for 2 days, literally, and I didn't know anybody. I was 19, and I went out by myself, and this, I thought I looked really amazing. I'm sure I looked horrible.
Oh.
I was wearing some type of, like, Betsy Johnson fur coat that I thought was, like, the coolest thing ever, but...
I love me some Betsy.
I know, right?
Yes.
So, I went out by myself, and I was at a Wonder Bar, which is now Eastern Block. On East 6th Street. And this club kid, Brandon Olson, who I still know, he was out wandering and he stopped me and told me that he was scouting for a Madonna video. Of course, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I don't know if that was true, but he took my photo. Then I was like, hey, where are you going? And he's like, get in the cab with me. So he took me to this, like, it was actually... another club person who I still know, Soigné.
Soigné.
It was Soigné's birthday. I didn't know who Soigné was at the time. Now, obviously, I do. So he took me to Soigné's birthday party.
Soigné's birthday. That must have been some birthday.
Yeah, and I...
Folks, we are talking about Soigné Deluxe.
Yes, who's amazing. We love him.
Yes.
So obviously it was like, you know, all the club kids of New York City in one room. And it wasn't even like a club thing. It was like a little like private friends Soigné only.
Soiree.
Yes. And I was like losing my fucking mind. And I met somebody there who was Garrow's friend from North Carolina. And he told me that he was having an art show in his apartment a week later. Mm-hmm. And I wrote my name and address on a napkin with lipstick.
Nice.
At like 4 a.m.
Very sexy. Good touch.
Handed it to him. A week later, I checked my mail, which I never did, and there was an invitation to his art show. So he had not only like remembered to send it to me, but he had like not lost this napkin that I like scribbled this random number on in lipstick. He got it. He like sent me a fucking invitation in the mail. This is a long time ago. And
well, back in those days, you really knew somebody cared.
Yeah.
Effort had to go. It was awesome.
I was like, and I checked it, and I opened the mailbox, and the event was at 7:30, and it was like 7:15 on the same day. So I jumped in a cab, and I went, and it was this little cute art show at this person's apartment on the Lower East Side. And Garrow was there, and we just like kind of like made eyes at each other from across the room, mm-hmm. but not in a romantic way, in like a musy.
There was a soul connect.
A soul connect. And then a couple weeks later, he had me assist him for the opening of Taboo, the Broadway show with Boy George about Lee Bowery.
Oh, wonderful.
Again, like all the like, sorry, fantastic club.
You just made the microphone
people
happy.
And like, you know, you know, all the like club freaks from wherever, and you know, Jackie 60, like all of those people were there, and I was 19. I was again totally losing my fucking mind. Pretty and then amazing. It just all went uphill from there, pretty much, until I became old and jaded and grumpy.
Years, stop it. You're not allowed to say you're old because
I'm a little jaded and grumpy, but no. I'm working on it.
You'll probably like feel a lot younger in 5 years.
Okay.
You might be one of those people that starts out jaded and grumpy, but
I'm working on
ends
it.
Up embracing working on my inner optimism. Child.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So that's the short version of the story. That's the abbreviated version. But that's
right.
It.
That's the polite version of the story. I have a feeling, folks, because
that's a dirty detail.
We you're right, Suki. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Meow. Meow.
Well, Miss Sequin at Jean's Field. What is your Facebook page?
Just Sequinette, and on Facebook and Instagram.
So it's Sequinette by itself.
Well, it's Sequinette Jane's Field on Facebook because Facebook makes you have a last name.
Two dumb things. Yes,
it's really dumb.
Lame.
Yes.
And on Instagram,
it's just Sequinette.
Sequinette.
Simple. Easy breezy.
Easy breezy.
Yes.
Give me a cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. and
having
me.
I'm going to take a little sugar. Bring it. She tastes really pretty.
God, she tastes so good. It's getting deep Liz up in here right now.
You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. With me is a saucy group of people. Garo Sparrow, Sequinette Janesfield, and Minnie Tonka. And I was wondering what your thoughts were, Minnie Tonka, on bisexuality realism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I actually wanted to make a controversial subject. So, in my fag hag days,
I like Flame Dame.
So there was a point when I was a teenager when literally, I think there were like 6 guys who came out to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like the go-to friend. But they all started out, bisexual or whatever. And I just have this thing. I just feel like it's kind of more for males, so this is kind of you asking me. But I feel like, can guys actually really, truly be bisexual? And not necessarily having sex, but truly, totally fall in love with, in your opinion, with either gender and, like, literally have a life partnership and love?
So, I feel that there's varying degrees of bisexuality. I don't think there's just a black and white bisexuality. Like, I have derived great physical pleasure and spiritual connection from sex with women for money, when there was an audience paying, as well as friends. Just cause, but I've never been the type to have a relationship with a woman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So now I get much connection out of sex with a woman as I do with a man, but I'm much more inclined to have a relationship with a man. So I consider myself what I would call bi-friendly. Sequinette, what are your thoughts on that? Do you believe bisexuality is real?
Well, the term doesn't resonate with me too much because bi implies two, and in my mind, sexuality and gender are fluid. There's multiple sexualities, multiple
many
genders.
Layers, right, Suki?
Not just two. I don't personally identify as a woman or man. My gender is more complicated than that. So, and I think most of the people that I've had relationships with feel similarly. So. Mm-hmm.
More about the soul connect is where you speak. It's not about parts.
I think so. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, the people that I hang out with have genders that vary from fancy to peanut butter ice cream to, feline to...
Fluff. Like the marshmallow stuff you get in the jar.
Yeah. So you can't really... say bisexual when there's maybe 1,000 different.
Kara, what are your thoughts?
Because you hang out with more advanced people than me, I think.
Bisexuality. Well,
what's your take on that? When I first was having
like issues with my just wondering like what was going on with my sexuality growing up. Like, I proclaimed to my mother, I'm like, I'm gay, Mom. Deal with it. And she's like, you're not gay, you're Sicilian. Sicilian men have sex when they want to have sex with anybody. You're not gay, you're
just
Sicilian.
Give them a hole.
So she refused to believe that I was gay. She was like, you're Sicilian. You're going to have sex with anything you can have sex with. And
that's
later
really
in life, it's like...
it's endearing. There's something endearing about that.
It's like, whatever. Yeah. It's like... I don't think, if you're attracted to a person, you're attracted to a person, and it doesn't really matter what gender they are, and I feel like I can't really call myself anything, but my bisexuality is just, like, measured on different levels on who it is, and I'm not going to put anything else into that.
Would you qualify yourself, by the way, and thank you for answering that so beautifully.
Thank you.
Would you qualify yourself as a sage goth?
I'm a bit of a sage goth, but I was much more into techno.
Right.
And the industrial scene. Mm-hmm. And so, and futurism and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I was like much more into like,
not so much the old, but the new.
808 state.
And like, yeah. Mm-hmm. 808 state front, 242, all that shit. There's like the forefathers of like electronic music. Mm-hmm. And Aphex Twin, of course, who I still bow down to this day, who's still putting out amazing shit.
Who?
Aphex Twin.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my heart, it was always just about sex, really. So the music I was drawn to was like Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. Soft Cell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going much further back.
We are
happily further back. Yes. Mm-hmm. Minnetonka, where was your where did your goth lie?
Okay, to this day, like if you want me to dance, then you put on Front 242 or mm-hmm. you put on My Life with the Thrill Girl Cult or mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but I think it kind of more started with, like, very, like, new wave girl.
In high school, I think my junior year, I wore the same threadbare Cure shirt every single day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
With these red, gross red fishnet sleeves underneath it. They were bell sleeves, which I thought was, like, the coolest
that
thing
is very
ever
cool.
in the entire world. And the shirt was...
Bell sleeves are lovely.
Yeah, it was from Lullaby. It had a spider on the back, which I just really thought was, like...
I totally went to that tour.
With Eddie. Oh, my God. But I also...
They were neon. I remember neon spiders on that shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. God, I love that shirt.
Yeah.
But I also loved... I mean, I guess it's on the new wave spectrum. Mm-hmm. I love Dead or Alive. I worshipped Pete Burns. Like,
yes. That's what first day I met when I met Tegan. She was 19.
Love the shit out of them.
And on that note...
Yeah.
Where can we find you in cyberspace, Minnetonka?
MissMinnetonka.com.
Is that M-I-S-S, Minnetonka.com?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Sequinet, where can we find you?
FurMajestyNYC.com.
FurMajestyNYC.com.
Yes.
And you can Google her on Garrow Unleashed as Sequinet's profile.
Please don't actually do that.
Please don't. Don't
buy. The look on their faces, he's so busting her balls right now.
Yeah.
The Garrow, where do we find you?
Of course, at just GarrowSparrow.com.
Find him on 38th Street.
GarrowSparrow.com. And you've been listening to Fallen Woman, and you can find lots of old episodes, past lovelies at fallenwoman.com. And thank you guys so much.
Dig.
Clink, 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 clink,
clink, clink,
clink,
kisses.
Clink, clink, kisses. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to continue to support independent community media, we hope you'll consider supporting us with a small monthly pledge. You may pledge as little as $1 a month. That's just $12 per year, the price of a cocktail. Wouldn't you buy us just one drink per year to keep local independent media alive and kicking? Please, go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep commercial-free, independent radio alive. You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. With me is quite the motley crew. We can start with Mr. Garrow Sparrow. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing very well.
Sequinet Janesfield and Ms. Minnetonka.
Shalom.
Shalom. That's a really good way to begin this wonderfully sick game. I'm going to start right off. Here's the question, guys. If I was stranded forever on a beautiful island with my best friend of the opposite sex, I would either A, hate them, B, have sex with them, or C, eat them.
Oy.
So I have my selection. Let me know when you're ready.
You can turn it
I'm
around.
Not looking. I'm not looking because some people don't. There we go.
What's wrong with you?
Everyone hold. Okay. I went with B, have sex with him.
I'm with B.
B?
B, baby! Wow,
unanimous. You guys really know me.
Well, you are a Scorpio.
You all win.
I mean, if you don't have sex, what do you have? Come
on. Now we get this one special.
Yeah, you're special.
I am an air marshal on a plane that has just been hijacked. Before I die, I will A, kill the terrorist, B, fuck the hot flight attendant, or C, sit in first class because I could never afford it.
Okay. Well, I think I know what I'm doing. Oh, I lost that round. I went with fuck the hot flight attendant.
No, you guys. Zero. Yeah. Hello, Sequinette.
Sequinette wins this
baby.
Round.
Yep, she wins. I would sit in first class because I could never afford it.
Oh, fuck that. Sex.
It's not you, it's her. What's wrong with
you?
It's her. It's not what I would pick.
I'm just going, whatever.
So, Sequinette,
you're doing a great job.
Your turn, my love.
You're doing a great job.
One disturbing thing I could not turn away from watching is A, zombies eating unicorns, B, wrinkly side boob, C, the person to my right getting finger banged by a gremlin.
Okay. All right. Hey, I'm going to play the player on this one.
Shit. What does that mean?
Wait, so what would she go with?
I hold up my
choice. What is that?
Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, do it. Ah, yes.
It? Yes.
I had it and I just changed it.
Oh, that almost would have been a unanimous.
I had it. I blew
want
it.
Somebody to get whatever.
Maybe
you
lost this round.
I blew it.
Sequinette, Carol, and myself.
I changed it at the last moment.
Took home the gold.
Damn it. I blew it.
So now Gara's turn.
Oh, Lord, I have to read.
Oh, I can't wait to see which one he's going to get.
Oh, here we go. The most bizarre place that I would have sex is... A. In a bathtub filled with mayonnaise. B. In a porta-potty at a music festival. Mm-hmm. And C. On Grandpa's grave.
That's so easy. Yeah. This one's so easy.
This is a piece of cake.
Got it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why? You guys got yours? Everybody
yeah.
Got it? All right. What'd you do, Garo? A. Oh, I lost that.
Shit,
I went
man.
With the grave. We all picked the grave.
Mayonnaise
he went
in
with
a bathtub.
Mayonnaise.
Why not?
Wow.
I mean, when do you get that much mayonnaise?
That's
at once.
Right?
I love mayonnaise.
Is it paleo?
We all learned something about Garo today.
His
love of the mayo. I would love to see A, an anaconda swallowing a midget. B, elves raping Santa Claus.
Ooh.
Or C, cripples racing each other.
No brainer.
Okay.
I know this one's so easy.
I don't know.
So stop worrying about you learn from mistakes. Mistakes are good.
Okay.
I'm going with C.
Oh.
You all picked B?
Yeah, we did.
Elves fucking Santa Claus? Come on, man.
Raping.
Yeah, that's
wait a minute. Raping. No, that's the one I was trying to pick.
We won. I won.
Ah, well, okay. You all won because honestly, that's the one I was trying to pick. I got the wrong card by accident. No cripples racing each other. It's so boring.
That's really
That's boring. Elves raping Santa Claus? I'd pay lots of money to see that.
Hell yeah.
As long as it was the real Santa Claus.
Yeah, the real one.
It has to be the real one.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, Sandy.
That's like okay. watching angels raping God.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, I like this one. Because, you know, okay, here we go.
How can I get through it?
I wish that I knew, A, how to prevent the hiccups, B, how to get away with murder, or C, which one of my friends is in the closet.
Oh, yay, I've won one.
If I had an insane weekend in Vegas with my friends, I think we would A, end up naked in a casino fountain, B, not remember anything, C, require bail money.
Yes. Yes.
What would be?
Yeah. Absolutely played the player on this.
Oh,
one.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn it. B. Yeah. Garo and I won.
Yeah.
Yes. Sequinette went with B. Yeah. Not remember anything.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
That's how it goes.
Collecting lots of cards over here. Garo Sparrow Corner.
Yeah, that makes you the sickest person in the room, you know.
Really? That's
yes,
good.
It does.
That's a compliment. Okay, let's read again. The one thing I would love to avoid the rest of my life is A, prison, B, premature ejaculation, C, boarding a Malaysian airline.
Okay. All right. Do it, Garo. What'd you do? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A unified force.
All across the board. We
avoid
all won.
Prison.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
everyone here loves their and cherishes their freedom.
Hell yes.
Yes. Okay, here we go. If I had to get rid of my neighbors, I would A, notify them that I am a registered sex offender. Mm-hmm. B, advertise that they host gangbangs. And C, take random shits on their doorstep.
Okay.
Oh my god. Okay. Wait. All right. Yeah. All right. I totally have my.
Yep.
I went with B.
Damn it.
Advertise that they host gangbangs.
I thought that you would take random shit.
You thought I would take random shit?
Yes!
No, that's something Garo would do.
No, I would not.
Garo. You went with A. Oh, you said you went with sex offender.
Yes.
Anyway.
Okay. My favorite items for pleasuring myself are A, family photo albums. And when they say pleasuring myself, that's not masturbating.
Just,
okay. I thought it just means being
It's just
happy.
Like an old timey okay. saying. Like
okay. My favorite items for pleasuring myself are A, family photo albums, B, my disturbed thoughts and tissues.
And issues?
Tissues.
What? Oh, my like, it Kleenex. Says tissues? Really? Wow. Okay.
Like your disturbed thoughts and you're crying, I think.
Oh, no.
No,
like
your tissues
you're,
from your
you're gonna come
ejaculate,
into the
too,
tissue.
Though, I think.
I'm confused.
That's okay.
Okay, mercy, foreign objects.
Okay.
Cut and dry.
Yeah, that one's kind of easy, I think.
Do we'll over?
See.
Or is
we'll
it?
See. We'll see. Oh, see, dude, it was unanimous.
Yeah,
foreign objects.
Yeah.
I'm not
going
to. We all
yeah,
really
little,
like the foreign objects.
That was a little intense. But my family photo albums, man. You know, that's.
No.
They could bring one person back from the dead to guide humanity. It would be A, Genghis Khan. Mm-hmm. B, George Carlin. Mm-hmm. C, Steve Jobs.
That's easy. This one's a no-brainer. George Carlin.
Yes. Dude, George
Carlin. I have no idea who that is.
He's a comedian.
Oh, he's one
he's
of the greatest
comedians
of all time. He created the whole seven dirty words. But, oh, man.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, see, I was trying to fake you guys.
See, that is, that
Actually,
get really stoned
B
at some
George
point.
Carlin.
Sit in front of the computer and YouTube your balls off with him. He's amazing. George Carlin is incredible.
Okay.
He passed too soon.
I know. We lost
sure.
over George Carlin.
I know.
Everybody out there in Radio Land, if you don't know who George Carlin is, You better Google your balls off tonight.
I would love to, A, take a bubble bath with Bigfoot, B, get a happy ending from a ladyboy, or C, circumcise Mel Gibson.
Okay. All right, let's do it. Yes. Yes, I played the player on that one. Of course he would get a hand job from a lady boy.
Of course he would go for like Bigfoot. She likes the furry.
Yes. Oh, this is like the fur. Like, oh, the fur and the bubbles. It does sound glamorous. There's something about fur and bubbles going on there.
She's, you know, she's a genius groomer. So. For Majesty.
All right. Well, at this point, everybody count your winning card.
Oh, what?
Darrow is the winner of this round of Disturbed Friends, folks. He is the sickest person in the room.
Alrighty.
Big surprise.
Damn proud.
Mazel tov.
Alright.
Grazie, signorina.
So everybody, cheers.
Cheers.
Let's raise a glass. Do a little...
Eye contact,
yes.
Eye contact, there you go.
Very superstitious. Yes.
Very serious.
Yes.
The heart comes back to haunt you when you thought you had it all. The train sniffled just like you, but you grew up 10 feet tall. The question mark leaves its mark all the way down your hall, the dark spot where you sit. You feel 2 inches small. Looking at your two-way split, a thinker at the mouth of hell, who cannot sleep, cannot submit, who can't unring the broken bell.
My name is Velocity Child. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon and seductive humor through opinions, poetry, candor, and song.